So who here is a gardener or like to plant stuff? I try to, but sometimes when I plant things, it's either Joy or Buddy dig them up. or even if I plant some things here, sometimes I got so busy that the morning glories or the weed kind of choke it. And the Lord Jesus in the parable of the seed today said it very clearly that sometime the seed, which is the seed of faith that have been given to us from the Lord, been spread onto the soil of our heart, oftentimes get choked or oftentimes did not plant on rich enough soil in order for us to take deep root. And that soil is our faith, and it's our preparation in order for that seed to permeate. So we have to ask ourselves, how are we taking care of our soil? Is our soil rich, or is it shallow? Is it full of life, or is it just malnourished? Each and every one of us have to nourish and deepen and make our soul rich, or make enough time and enough effort so that the seed of faith could grow within us. So I'm asking you, what are some of the things that kind of distract us or could be choking our soil for the seed of faith from growing to its fullest potential? I can tell you right now, and I can identify some things that you and I perhaps could struggle with. Number one, we don't have enough time. We're so busy. One thing after another, aren't we? Especially if you're parents or grandparents, then sometimes you have to go to sport games, or you have to go to the different extracurricular activities of your children, or those who are younger have to worry about how to build up their future careers, or their present stage right now. Oftentimes, we're so busy that we have malnourished or haven't taken enough time to enrich the soil of our heart for that seed of faith to come in. And if our soil is not rich enough, then the seed of faith will grow, but it will also die very quick when trials, when sufferings, when hardships come. And I often ask myself this question, and I don't know if I'm asking the right question or not, but I wonder, if we have any type of religious persecution in America, if the church is facing hard times in America, how many people still believe? That's a question I'm scared to ask. If there's anything wrong with the church in America or with religious liberty, will people continue to believe or will they abandon their faith? Oftentimes, in America, where we enjoy religious liberty and freedom so much that we really have not lived in a time where we go without, where we have to struggle and have to profess our faith. Today, in particular, I remember of our brothers and sisters who are in missionary land, who would have to walk for miles to go to church. I'm going to give you one particular situation, just like in Guatemala, where the head catechist would walk for miles to the central church to take the Eucharist and then bring it home to their village church in order to celebrate liturgy of the word and receive communion. For miles, walking on foot up and down the mountain. Here in America, when it gets too hot or when the summer comes, we take a vacation from church. Or we say, oh no, it's raining or it's not convenient for me. Then we stop going to church. Perhaps our faith had become a faith of convenience only, instead of a faith that is deeply rooted in Christ. It takes a lot of extra effort to make the soil rich and make it conducive for the growing of the seed. We have to nourish that. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes a lot of attentiveness in order to enrich the soil. The same thing to our soul. It takes a lot of time, caring, attentiveness, and a lot of effort for us to let go of all the things that could be choking us or all the things that could make our faith shallow in order to abide with Christ and hold on to Christ. St. Paul has said in the second reading today that I consider all the suffering of this present time as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed to us. Are we willing to suffer for the faith? Are we willing to change our mind and let God permeate and deepen that love yet or not? Or are we remaining shallow? As a matter of fact, I have watched a video when I first came to America. That video show us what kind of effort it takes for a plant to grow from a seed. And it's a very violent and a very hard effort act where the plant almost go through a metamorphosis or a transformation where the seed had to die. And then from that decay, it grew from that seed, the plant, and had new life. And it's forced through all of the dirt, all of the soil. And it had to endure a lot in order for it to become a big tree. So that is our faith as well. God had planted that seed already. That seed of faith had been given to us by our family, by our loved ones. How are we allowing that seed to grow? Are we making all effort for that seed to grow? Or are we just letting that seed be inactive and not being activated? We have to allow that seed to grow by accepting the grace of God that pour out upon us, just like rain from the first reading according to the prophet Isaiah. God's grace to shine upon us, His rain nourish us, and we receive that rain, that water, and allow that seed of faith with our own effort in that soil so that seed could grow deep within us. My brothers and sisters, faith is not easy. I don't know who told you about all these things that, oh, it's easy to be a Christian. It's not. It's actually hard to be a Christian, and it is harder for us to live as disciples of Christ, because at every single moment we have to choose to go against what this world is asking of us, what this world is trying to entice us, and what this world is trying to dupe us in order to choose to abide and be faithful to Christ all the time. And sometimes that takes a lot of humility for Christ to work in us and through us. And I'm going to use an example of Father Henry Nouwen. He was a very famous and popular Christian writer, especially back in the 80s and 90s. And he had a very successful career as a lecturer at Harvard University. But he gave all of that up in order to become a part of a community that care for disabled people. And in one encounter, he had been assigned to a very severely handicapped man, and that handicapped man was named Adam Arnett. He suffered from epilepsy and was nonverbal, so he could not speak. When Father Henry Nouwen was assigned to him, the first few weeks were hard because he always scared of how to take care of him and not to screw it up or to drop him or to hurt him. And it became so burdensome for him to care for Adam. But sooner or later, he stepped back and he said, "This shouldn't be a burden. This is God's instrument. And Adam is a gift of God that he is using to sanctify me and allow me to grow." And he was able to embrace Adam with love. and embraced Adam and allowed Adam, handicapped, to teach him and to remind him of his own limitation, his own handicap, his own struggles. And so when he left Adam to go back to his work to care for the larger community, this is what he wrote, and I want to share it with you. I had to come to live in community and to care for Adam. Now I had to leave Adam to others and fully acknowledge my own disabilities. I was going through the deep human struggle to believe in my belovedness, even when I had nothing to be proud of. Yet, I had left the university with its prestige, but this life gave me satisfaction and even brought me admiration. Yes, I was considered a good, even a noble person, because I was helping the poor. But now that the last crutch had been taken away, I was challenged to believe that even when I had nothing to show for myself, I was still God's beloved son. As I lived through this emotional ordeal, I realized that I was becoming like Adam. He had nothing to be proud of, neither had I. He was completely empty, so was I. He needed full attention, so did I. I found myself resisting this becoming like Adam. I did not want to be dependent and to be weak. I did not want to be so needy. Somewhere, though, I recognized Adam's way, the way of radical vulnerability, was also the way of Jesus. He found in Adam total dependence on God, just like Adam was dependent on him to care for him. Oftentimes, we don't want to be dependent on anyone. We think we have it all. And we don't want to open up to God. We don't want to be vulnerable to God. We come to God with a list of what we want. We don't want a relationship with God. We want a God that simply remains a genie, a vending machine, a provider. We don't want a God who loves us deep from within, to love us where it hurts the most. We don't want to become helpless. We don't want to become like Adam. But yet, in our helplessness, in our most vulnerable reality, we open up for God. And when we are able to recognize that we are limited, we are helpless, then we really recognize that we need God. And only at that time will the real metamorphosis take place, where the strength formation take place, where we are no longer the center of the universe, where we are no longer dependent on ourselves, but we are dependent on God. My brothers and sisters, that is the way of faith. It is a paradox, because sometimes the greatest ways to recognize who we are is to truly be vulnerable, to open up, and to let God be God for us. Therefore, the seed of faith has already been instilled within your heart. Do the best that you and I can to nourish that seed of faith and make it grow. But most important of all, to recognize, like in the first reading, that it is God who makes the rain fall upon us, His grace to fall upon us, to transform us, to change us, to make us rich in His love. Without God, we are nothing. Without God, we are shallow. Without God, we remain ourselves. But in God, we become vulnerable, we know who we are, and we allow ourselves to be loved as we are, His beloved son and daughter.